we've had a few calls coming through about the train situation. Everyone's got an opinion about what should be done, about the timetables, about what went on earlier in the week. I don't know whether you were there, but I certainly had a slow train to Rockdale on Tuesday night, which was one of the nights affected. Certainly Luke Foley was affected when we were talking to him a bit earlier. But I understand, and of course, Andrew Constance had to be called back by his boss, Gladys Berejiklian, to sort things out. And I understand the meeting to sort things out has just finished. And on the line right now, I've got spokesman from the Rail, Tram and Bus Union, Stuart Prinz, on the phone to give us the lowdown. Stuart, what has just happened?
Hi, Rod. Yeah, our representatives, which included New South Wales Branch Secretary Alex Classens and the Secretary of Unions New South Wales, Mark Morey, have just met with Transport for New South Wales officials. And I've just had a quick briefing, and apparently the meeting was civil and constructive. And although we don't have any answers just yet, at least now the conversation has started, and that we can hopefully try and get some progress on putting some measures in place to try and stop this from happening again. Obviously, as all of your listeners would know, and as you're saying, many of them would have been personally affected, the delays over the past few days have been completely unacceptable. Thousands, if not millions of people have had their trips in and out of the city and around Sydney affected and delayed. And frankly, it shouldn't have come to this, but at least now Transport for New South Wales and the state government is prepared to talk to rail workers and try and find some measures that will improve the reliability of the system going forward.
Because there was an issue that Andrew Constance brought up, and of course some of the transport heads, that there was a bit of Monday-itis going on Monday, and there was sick people calling in sick. But Luke Foley said it was about 10 people. Does that confer with your figures?
We were pretty disappointed, to say the least, that Sydney Trains officials effectively tried to blame their workers for the situation earlier in the week, and said it was a matter of staff not turning up for work or staff being away on leave. We looked into it ourselves, and on a normal day you can expect 40 to 50 staff or 40 to 50 drivers to be away. That's just about 3% of the workforce, which is, you know, not unreasonable. With a workforce of, you know, we've got around 2,500 train drivers that are our members. So on those days, there were about 10, maybe 15 max additional people away sick. So it was about 55 or 60 people off sick. And
should the system be able to cope with that then?
Exactly, it should. I mean, it was a pretty minor spike in the number of people who were away sick. And for such low numbers, you wouldn't expect that to cause such a major disaster, and the system should be able to handle a few extra people being off sick. But one other point to make on that is our members have been putting in a lot of extra time. They've been doing a lot of overtime. They've been called back to fill in gaps in the roster because the system is currently understaffed. We estimated that before the new timetable was brought in, there were about 50 drivers short just on the old timetable, and now obviously there's more services that have been added. So our drivers have been under more pressure because they've been working longer hours, and over a period of time this takes a toll, and you would actually expect there to be an increase in the number of people who are getting sick because they're fatigued and they've been working such long hours over Christmas. So this is something that should have been expected and anticipated, and measures should have been put in place to deal with that. They haven't, but now at least I guess one silver lining to the cloud is that now the officials at Transport for New South Wales and the New South Wales government are accepting that this is a reality and that something needs to be done about it.
And what's happening is people don't want to be train drivers anymore. Don't people realise that we had a famous Prime Minister that was a train driver? Isn't it a great profession to be into
now,
anymore?
Right? I'm looking forward to the day when we have another train driver as a Prime Minister, the next Ben Chifley. I'm not quite sure who that'll be. But you're right. We do want more people working as train drivers, but the government has to be prepared to employ them. And in 2015, the state government put a hiring freeze on, which means that even though the number of services expanded as more people are using public transport, we weren't growing the workforce. And that has over time led to this situation where we don't have enough trained, qualified train drivers on the system, and that contributed to the problems that we've been having this week.
And what's the lead time on this? An influx from this interview with people saying, "Oh, look, I want to drive a few trains and fix this system," how long will it take before they are actually driving a train and keeping to the timetable?
It's not like driving a car. It actually takes quite a long time to become a qualified train driver, and in fact, over a year. And the reason it takes so long is you not only have to learn how to drive a train, which is a fairly complicated piece of machinery, you also have to learn how to drive on the network. You need to know where all the signals are, and you need to be fully aware of the local factors at play on a section of track. Because obviously if something goes wrong, you're not only putting your own life at risk, you're putting the lives at risk of all of your passengers. So there is a lot of training that needs to be done. One thing that we warn against is fast-tracking the training so that drivers are only qualified to work on one section of track. That is another thing that has happened in the past few years. In order to expedite the training process, drivers have only been trained on one part of the network. And what that means is when shortages come up on a different part of the network, you can't move your staff around. You don't have that flexibility. So that is why it is important to make sure that all of our new drivers are trained in how to drive across the entire network to give you that workforce flexibility to deal with situations when they arise and when you need to move people from one part of the network to another.
Right. I mean, if you were doing the Gosford to Sydney run or the Newcastle to Sydney run, I mean, you're only using one part of the track, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, day to day. But, you know, there are times when, you know, as we found out this week, when when people are sick or when people are on leave, and the flexibility to be able to move your workforce around and fill into those gaps is extremely important, because if you don't have that flexibility, you get stuck. And another thing that we've found in the past week is that the new timetable is pretty highly strung. And when one thing goes wrong, there isn't the flexibility in the system to be able to make up time elsewhere. So that's a major problem. Crews are not working from, as you say, from Gosford all the way through to the other end of the line. They're only doing sections of the line, and then they're sort of getting off and swapping. And so we've had situations where trains have got a third of the way through the route and they've had to stop because another train crew has not been there waiting for them. So those sorts of things, we're going to go back to our members and say, look, what can we put in place as short-term measures to get us through, to sort of help improve the reliability? We're going to consult directly with the people who work on the front line, and we're going to take that information back to the government and Transport for New South Wales, and hopefully they'll listen.
And what's the situation now with the pay dispute? Are you thinking that there could be a strike? Or,
well, we'll find the outcome of the protected action ballot possibly today, I think. Uh-huh. And if our members have said that they don't want to take protected action, then that's the end of it. But if they come back and say, yes, we do want that option, then the potential of industrial action is on the table, and we'll have to consult further with our members to see what they want to do. But they are two separate issues, but you can say that what's happened over the past week, and particularly with our members being blamed for the problems, hasn't helped staff morale. and our members are pretty angry, and it's probably unfortunate timing that this has happened just at the moment when we're negotiating a new enterprise agreement. Yeah. And obviously some people have tried to conflate the two, but they are two separate issues. Where they do cross over is the fact that we've got a fairly disenchanted workforce at Sydney Trains at the moment, and we're trying to do our best to make sure that everyone stays focused on the job and make sure that the travelling public get to and from work and to and from the shops as best we can get them there.
Yes. Of course, though, if there is some sort of industrial action, then I'm sure commuters would find a bit of a problem getting to all their destinations with...
If
we had a train strike for a long, long time, and it would be... I remember the ones many years ago, and it was absolute chaos. It was, you know...
We fully appreciate that any interruption or industrial action causes a lot of inconvenience to people. So I can assure you that if the members decide that they do want to take industrial action, we'll give as much warning as we can to commuters that they can organise other alternatives.
All right. Well, thank you. You heard it here first on 2SER 107.3. Thank you very much, Stuart Prinz from the Rail. Let me get this right. Rail, Tram and Bus Union.
Thanks, Rod.